Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om bhagavate vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter 7, entitled The Son of Jonah Punished, text number 26. Kim idam svit kuto veti deva deva na vedam mi aham sarvato mukam ayati teja paramadharunam kim idam svit kuto veti deva deva na vedam yaham sarvato mukam ayati teja paramadharunam kimidam svit kuto veti deva deva na vedyamham sarvato mukam ayati teja paramadharunam kimidam svit kuto veti deva deva na vedyamham sarvato mukam ayati teja paramadharunam. Deva deva na vedyaham sarvato mukam ayati teja paramadharunam kimidam svit kuto veti
deva deva vedyaham
sarvato mukam ayati
teja paramadharunam kimidam svit kuto veti
Deva deva na vedyaham sarvato mukam ayati teja paramadharunam
Deva 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 Deva
Deva Deva Navedyam Kim, what is? Idam, this. Sit. Does it come? Kuta, where from? Va, I'm sorry, va iti, by either. Deva Deva, O Lord of Lords. Na, not. Vedmi, do I know? Aham, I. Sarvata, all around. Mukam, directions. Ayati, coming from. Teja, effulgence. Parama, very much. Darunam, dangerous. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Lord of Lords, how is it that this dangerous effulgence is spreading all around? Where does it come from? I do not understand it. Please repeat. O Lord of Lords,
O Lord of Lords,
how is it that this dangerous effulgence
is spreading all around?
Where does it come from?
Where does it come from?
I do not understand it. Purport. Anything that is presented before the personality of Godhead should be done after due presentation of respectful prayers. That is the standard procedure. And Sri Arjuna, although an intimate friend of the Lord, is observing this method for general information. Om Jnani Tamidandasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chakshuri Malitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swam Rupa Gatam Hem Dadati Shvapadantikam Gurum Pradiva Chalam Pangam Nangaya Tegirim Etki Matavaham Mande Sri Gurum Dhirtanam Parmanananam Maharavam Sri Chaitan Ishvaram. Translation again. O Lord of Lords, how is it that this dangerous effulgence is spreading all around? Where does it come from? I do not understand it. It's important to note that Srila Prabhupada's words here, his commentary, are so concise that in just a few words, Prabhupada can transmit such a profound information. It's only a testament that the pure devotee is in contact with the Lord in the heart, the Chaitanya Guru, that in with just a few words in Prabhupada's purport, he he touches upon such an important principle in the process of devotional service, and that is offering prayers. It's so important. Akuras tu abhivandane is described in the Bhagavatam that Akura, he achieved a perfection by his offering of prayers. And offering prayers is understood as one of the nine devotional processes of devotional life. So it's important that we learn how to offer prayers, just as here Arjuna, before he actually began to elicit some information from Krishna, some service for that matter, he first had to offer, out of etiquette, as Prabhupada points out here, it's the standard procedure that before asking the Lord for anything, one should learn how to offer prayers and respectful words. Just as in our own, just even in mundane life, when you approach an important person, you have to say something nice. You say something respectful and appreciative of that person. Otherwise, how do you think you're going to elicit some kind of attention or help, right? So it's just, it's common practice, as Prabhupada points out here. It's standard procedure. So as devotees, we also have to learn how to approach the Lord and offer Him prayers, because He's a person and He likes to hear your glorification of Him. He likes to hear what you have to say. Just like in any relationship, you like to hear what the other person has to say. Right? It's not that we just sort of walk into the room and just walk straight by and don't even glance. Sometimes we have that tendency in the material world due to this impersonal impersonality, which is due to association with the material energy. People have become voidists and impersonalists, especially in this day and age. So it's something that a devotee has to develop, certainly. And when we come in the presence of the Lord or the spiritual master, we offer them respectful words and appreciations. We want to express our feelings. So we offer the Lord respects. And again, he likes to hear that, because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as part and parcels, that's our, it's a duty. It's like, just like it's the duty of the disciple to offer respectful obeisances to the spiritual master. It's a duty. And by developing that habit, the relationship strengthens. So, of course, that has to be done in the proper way. It's not that we just start speculating and say all sorts of strange things. No. Mahajano yena katasa panta. We follow in the footsteps of the predecessor acharyas. And by learning and observing their example, we see how to offer respects to a senior Vaishnav or the spiritual master, or what to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have to learn these things. Because again, the tendency is to be selfish, and my sense gratification or my position is just as important. Of course, in one sense it is, because we're all part and parcel of Krishna. But just out of general etiquette and procedure, as Prabhupada points out here, it's standard. Although an intimate friend of the Lord, in observing this method, Arjuna is observing this method for general information. He's showing by practical example how you want to elicit the attention or the help of someone respectful, a respectable person. What to speak of someone that you're in love with? You have to learn that art. So one has to, it's advised that you follow in the footsteps of previous charges, previous examples. Just like we teach our children how to become respectful, or the spiritual master teaches the disciple how to be respectful, and by their example we also learn that art. In the Bhagavatam there are so many wonderful examples of these prayers. Lord Brahma, of course, offers wonderful, wonderful prayers. Prayers for creation. He's trying to elicit some help from the personality of Godhead within the heart, that please give me the power of creation. So he offers these beautiful, beautiful prayers, Brahma Sanghita. The Vedas personified in the 10th canto, there's some very, very wonderful prayers of the in which the Vedas personified are glorifying the personality of Godhead. It's a huge chapter. These examples are there in the Vedic literature. So let's speak of Dhruva Maharaj. We all know the example of Dhruva, who offered so many wonderful prayers. The demigods, again, in Bhagavad Gita, and Arjuna himself, in this example, in this point that Srila Prabhupada is making here, using the point of Sri Arjuna, they also offered wonderful prayers. Now, of course, there may be different reasons for those prayers. Just as Lord Brahma, he had a purpose behind those prayers. He wanted the power of creation. The demigods, when they saw the universal form of the Lord, they were terrified. So out of fear, they were praying to the personality of Godhead, "Oh Lord, help us from this situation." And Arjuna was also offering a wonderful prayers, but what was his request? His request was that, "I want to see this form of Narayan. Please show me. I don't have any interest in this universal form, because in this universal form I can't develop, I can't offer loving feelings. I don't have that interest," just as the gopis, right? And the gopis weren't interested in the form of Narayan. They didn't have any interest. They wanted to see the two-handed form of the Lord because they wanted to have a loving relationship. So there's different motives there, certainly. But the bottom line is, the principle has to be that one should develop loving feelings. And prayers are necessary for one to develop that. Just as, again, we can approach the deity and we can pray to them because they're there. The spiritual master is there. They're not just stone figures and some murti that we have to spend hours a day trying to serve. No, they're actually personalities, and they're actually there. Of course, we don't have the vision, and that's something that has to be developed. And that's developed by this process of sadhana bhakti. So prayers have to be there. And there, again, the question may be why. And the answer would be that sometimes out of fear one may offer prayers. Or as a child in the womb is also, because of its suffering condition, it's offering prayers. "Oh, Lord, get me out of this condition. It's such a suffering situation. And I promise that as soon as we heard this before, earlier, previous purport, the child is praying that, let me out of this miserable condition, and I promise that I'll be your devotee." And, of course, as soon as one gets out, he forgets and is overwhelmed by the material energy. So, out of suffering. Or one can be like King Kulushekhar. What is that verse? That he offers this beautiful, that at the end of my life, may I, what is that beautiful prayer? Krishna Tvadiya Para Pankaja Panjarantam Advaya Vavishta Mimana Saraja Hangsa Prana Prana Samyekapavito Kantavira Navido Smaranam Kutaste. He's praying that at the end of my life, or now, let my mind be absorbed in your lotus feet, which are entangled in the stem of the lotus. Is it? now, because at the end of my life, kapha pitta, my throat will be choked up with kapha, with mucus, and I'll not be able to say your name. So we're all, the devotees also praying like that. Let me, some or other, my mind become absorbed in your beautiful form, in your lotus feet, in your glories, because at the end of life, there may, that situation may not be available for me. It may be a very challenging time, and of course, it is a challenging time. We know that, but the devotee prays like that. Let me, some or other, become absorbed. Or one can pray for detachment, as Queen Kuti. She offers these beautiful, beautiful prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that let me some or other become detached from all of these family relationships. What is it? Sneha pasam imang chindi. Cut those ties of affection that I have. Because, again, when the time of death comes, where's the mind? It's focused on all of these material attachments, these entanglements. And how will I think of the personality of Godhead? How will I remember you? It won't be possible. So again, praying is such a critical part in devotional life. There may be many reasons, but of course, in devotional life, for the devotee, it's becoming more and more fixed on the form of the Lord and detached from these material things. Yadi dasyasi me kaman varang sung varadarshapa. There's a beautiful, beautiful prayer given by Prahlad Maharaj, where he describes the Lord as the best of the giver of benedictions. There's no doubt, Krishna is the best of best giver of all benedictions. There's so many stories in Bhagavatam of how materialists or the demons, they approach this demigod or that demigod, and they're asking for this benediction or that purpose, whatever, whether it's Brahma, Shiva, this one, that one. But Krishna is the best of the giver of benedictions. It's described that by Prahlad, that if at all you want to give me any benediction, then I pray that within the core of my heart there be no more material desire. The benediction, or that is the most important benediction. That's the most valuable benediction. That one can somehow or other become detached from this material world, so that one can become fixed at the end of life in Krishna's service. And that way make his life successful. Lord Chaitanya, of course, is our best example, where he says, "Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim." I don't want this thing or that thing. I only want your devotional service. So again, it's a question of offering prayers and offering them very feelingly. Not that we just sort of mechanically put something out because it sounds good. Of course, we can in the beginning, one is practicing to develop that proper sentiment. What sadhana bhakti is all about. We're practicing the regulative principles so that we can develop that proper sentiment. So when the time comes, we're in the right state of mind. So, again, Lord Chaitanya is our best example. But we also pray to the Guru, as Srila Prabhupada points out, and we sing every morning. yasya prashada bhagavat prashada. Again, we're offering our prayers and we're imploring the spiritual master. We're hoping to satisfy him because by satisfying him, you can satisfy the personality of Godhead. And then what else is there to achieve? If you can satisfy the personality of Godhead, if you can satisfy the pure devotee of the Lord, if you can get the mercy of the Vaishnavas, then there's nothing more valuable. But it has to be done again in a sincere way. It can't be something that we're just casually going through. And of course, the greatest prayer, and we read this from the Gita Upanishad. There's one beautiful line that says, "Eko mantras tasya namani." The greatest prayer, the most important prayer of all, is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Ram, Hari Ram, 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 Hari Hari. That's the most important prayer of all. And that's the most important prayer because we know, because Krishna is so merciful that he becomes manifest in it. He makes it so easily available. But it's so potent. And if you take advantage of it, if you listen to it properly, execute it properly, then the greatest benefit is there. The greatest benefit. Of course, all these wonderful prayers that we're hearing of these devotees throughout the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's all around, it's all encapsulated in this day and age in chanting the holy names of the Lord. It's so important. It's so powerful. If you can just become attached to that, then we don't need. Of course, it's nice to know all of these beautiful words that the Vaishnavas are giving us. It's important. It's strengthening, sure. But if you can simply become attached to that one simple prayer that Krishna and the Lord Himself has given, chanting Hare Krishna, then it's. It's the perfection. And again, this is all being exemplified or pointed out here so nicely and concisely by Srila Prabhupada, in that this is what has to be done in order for one to first approach the Lord. You offer him a very nice prayer. If you chant his holy name so nicely, then Krishna becomes manifest, and then your life is perfect. There's nothing else to achieve. And this is for general information, so everyone should understand this. It applies to anyone and everyone. There's no limitation that I'm too young or old, this or that. So we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, sir.
Thank you very much for the wonderful class. So you were mentioning that we have to glorify the devotees. But on the other hand, I heard that the Prabhupada spiritual master, Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, he was saying that if anyone glorify me, he is my enemy. And if anyone criticize me, he is actually my real friend. So how can we, contribution? Can you explain it further?
Well, that is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. That's the humility of the pure devotee. That's his humility. Of course, we know that the Lord wants his and appreciates when we glorify his devotees. Krishna wants it. Of course, out of humility, the devotee may say that, I'm like this and I'm like that, and we can respect that and appreciate that. But it's only out of humility. If someone is requesting like that, then you can respect them and not do it. If you like, that's your choice. But Krishna likes it when his devotees are glorified. He likes it when we serve the Vaishnavas. It's one of the intimate exchanges. It's one of the six important exchanges that are there between the devotees, right? Serving the Vaishnavas, offering prasad, exchanging intimate words. This is all, these are general practices that are necessary for one in bhakti yoga. So it only helps us to more and more appreciate such a personality. Sir Nasbro.
That the devotee doesn't just falsely glorify and falsely aggrandize, and that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was saying, don't falsely aggrandize.
Yeah.
Criticize me. Tell me what I need to do to become a better devotee.
Yeah.
It's not like we're a social fraternity or sorority house. We're, you know, here to help each other advance. And that may be, as they say in the material world, tough love. But the truth is more powerful than false glorification.
Yeah, yeah, that has to be there as well. We don't just go up to everyone and, oh, Prabhu, 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 and then, yeah, but in the heart we're thinking that this is, why are you eating so much? Why are you walking around like that? Why, you know, you don't, you look weird, or you talk weird. One has to be careful of that kind of duplicitous mentality. Archita Prabhu?
We also have to remember the fly and the honeybee analogy. That as individuals, we see our own faults and try to correct them, but in others we try to see what's good about them and encourage that. Proper stress that. Otherwise you become a society of criticizers, because you can always find something to criticize about everybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're in the shower, and some people take a longer time in the shower than others, and we see what's good about them. And we encourage that and glorify that. Understanding, yes, they have faults. We're not being, you know, duplicitous. We're seeing that they do have faults, but we want to encourage them because they're starting the process, and it's a long haul. So the more we can encourage each other, the better.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.